First up here, Dakota Sports Saturday. It's Miller Volleyball with head coach Linda DeBoer. The Rustlers are ranked number 2 in Class A with a record of 22-2 on the season. Headed to a tournament in Milbank today. We'll get to that coming up. And first off, though, Linda, just talk about this season thus far. You did have quite a few losses off of last year's team, but yet here you are kind of in the same position you were a year ago.
Yeah, you know, we had to rebuild again. It seems like every year we have to rebuild and reload with the kids that we have coming up. And we graduated 4 girls last year, 3 that played a lot of defense for us in the back row, and then we had a 6-foot right side hitter by the name of Elise Brooks that graduated. So we're missing those 4, and then we are also missing Josie Stevens, was an outside hitter for us last year. She and her family actually moved to Pier. So we are 5 people down from where we were last year, but we have found some kids and reloaded our team again.
And really what the 2 that just come to my mind that you have coming back, Katie Fernholz, who's going to play D1 volleyball next year, Vonnegal Schlechter. Obviously, to me, those would be the 2 that the core that you've built around this year.
Yeah, that is true. Both of those girls have started for me since they were freshmen. We brought them up when I saw a lot of potential and a lot of talent when they were in junior high. And so Katie and Vanna have been, like you said, the core for our team for the past 4 years, but they've got some great supporting cast members. Maddie Wetz joined us from Roncalli a couple years ago when her family moved to town. She's our other outside hitter. Rachel Joy is a senior, and she didn't play last year. She had some medical issues last year, but she's back this year, and she's giving us a great burst in the front row with her blocking, and her serving is great. We've got them, and then on the right side, we're starting a junior. Storm Johnson is starting for us this year. She's really coming into her own as a player. So, you know, we've got some returners, but then we've also got some new kids taking some spots to help Katie and Vanna out.
We'll talk about some of those other kids then that are new to the varsity court. It's good now that you're into the last half of October. Those girls have grown up since the beginning of the season.
You know, they have. We had a lot of leadership. Rachel Olingmiller is our setter, and she's been leading this team for the last couple years. And so with Rachel and Vanna and Katie, we had a lot of leadership returning. And so I think they have really propelled this team and helped this team figure out what the expectations are and just how to use their talent and their skill. And so far it's been working really, really well for us.
And let's go back to Katie Fernholz. As I mentioned, a D1 recruit. She has committed to go to Kansas State, so she'll be in the Big 12 next year. Tell us about the recruiting process. I would imagine if Kansas State is where her final decision was, she had a lot of offers. She had a lot of contacts coming at her. Talk your role in that whole thing.
It really picked up. The recruiting process picked up for Katie a lot after her junior year. She was just getting more and more exposure, and we were getting more and more calls and letters of interest about her future plans. We sent out a lot of tape. We made a highlight video. Mitch Lunning at Kairos in Sioux Falls helped a lot with the process and getting her name and her videos out there. It got a little busy for her and a little overwhelming at times because there would be days when 7, 8, 9, 10 new schools would be contacting her, everything from NAIA to D2 to D1 schools. Katie did a really good job with this process. She took her time. She used her visits wisely, I feel. In the end, I would say there were 4 front runners. It was USD, Marquette, Creighton, and Kansas State that really had a lot to offer her, and they saw her potential and what they had to offer her. So she took her time. She didn't commit until early this fall, and I think that made people a little bit anxious, including her and her family, but she did a really good job with the process, and I think she's going to be really happy at Kansas State.
And obviously, things have went well this year at 22-2. Last weekend, I think you did something different. I don't remember your team doing this before. You went over to Minnesota to play in a huge tournament, I believe in St. James, Minnesota, 31 teams. You finished ninth overall. And one thing I find ironic, you finished ninth out of 31, but the ninth place finish kind of came just because of where you lost your match. If that match would have came later, you might have finished higher.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we first got invited two summers ago when the tournament director had actually seen our team at the SMSU team camp in Marshall. And he explained to me about this Midwest Classic tournament that they have in Albertville at St. Michael Academy. And then all of a sudden we got an invitation to go. So we had to do a little finagling with our schedule and funding to be able to make it work. But it was a great opportunity for the girls to go and play different teams. There were two teams from South Dakota, Miller and O'Gorman went, a couple teams from Wisconsin, but the majority of the 31 teams were made up from AAA teams in Minnesota. And so Friday night we had two matches. We lost to a very good Wisconsin team, River Falls, Wisconsin, who I think are fifth in the nation or something like that for their team. Very good team, and then we ended up beating a St. Paul Academy Summit, which put us second in our pool. And so the next day, we were playing for 9th through 16 places, and they played it out like a state tournament where they seeded the eight teams, and we ended up winning all three of our matches against three very good AAA teams from Minnesota. So we ended up with 9th. We went 4-1 at the tournament. We learned a lot in those two fast days. It was very exhausting, and it was some very, very good volleyball. I was very proud of the way our girls showed up and competed hard.
Not only that, just so many things go into that. You mentioned at the beginning scheduling and funding. You know, funding, that's an extra trip, probably not in the budget, so I'm sure the girls had to go out and do something there. And then somebody's got to cooperate on your schedule, too, just in order to be able to go to something like that.
Yeah, our booster club helped us out a lot. We worked a tailgate supper with them, the volleyball girls did, to earn some money to help pay for the rooms. And then our volleyball account from our cookie dough fundraising helped pay for a lot of the other expenses. But it wasn't even going to be a possibility until our schedule opened up when the High School Activities Association said last year you could have four tournament dates on your schedule instead of three. That was our opening. That was our opportunity to be able to accept the invitation and go to Minnesota.
You're talking with Linda DeBoer, head volleyball coach for the Miller Wrestlers. They're at 22-2, ranked number 2 in Class A. And one last question. You may not know the answer to this concerning the Minnesota tournament, because with 31 teams, you obviously weren't able to see everybody play. Was there anybody smaller than Miller playing in that tournament?
No, there wasn't. Actually, there was a tournament program, and Miller's enrollment, I'm not sure where they took it from, but they had Miller's enrollment down for 98 in high school. And I would say the next closest was probably 600 or 700 students in high school. Many of the teams we played against had 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 students in their school. So we were definitely the smallest, but I think we turned some heads. I got a lot of good kudos and congratulations and wow statements from people about how well our kids competed and what a great team they were. So, but definitely we were the smallest one there.
You know, and then another thing, too, I noticed just looking at your schedule, you played that tournament Friday, Saturday. That included travel before and after, and you turned around, played Monday, Tuesday, had a few days off here, then back with a road trip to Milbank today. So the girls, they've been road warriors. They've played a lot of volleyball here in the last week.
Yes, they have. Two of our matches on last Saturday actually went into three, and they were very, very close. The two-point difference in most of them, 26, 24, 15, 13, 16, 14, those kinds of things. And then we came back and battled Monday against Kimball and Tuesday against Platt. And then I gave the girls Wednesday off because we desperately needed to rest our legs and rest our arms, and they earned that break. But we got back at it Thursday and Friday, and so now we're ready for the tournament.
And we'll wrap it up here, let you go with this. You're 22-2. You were state runners-up last year. In some ways, I'm sure, in the mind of the girls that were there last year, there's some unfinished business, and there's still some season left to go. But I would imagine the goal for this team is very clear.
It is. You know, we don't take it for granted. We know it's going to be hard, but a second-place finish last year, of course, was an improvement over seventh place the year before. These girls have had a taste for a state tournament in their mouth for a very, very long time, and for this group of seniors to possibly play for a state championship on Saturday in November would be icing on the cake for them. They've worked hard. They've had great careers. We set a lot of records this year, broke some records. It would be a great experience, and they want a state championship, but they also know how hard they're going to have to fight and compete and play together to get it.
Linda DeBoer, head coach, Miller Rustler Volleyball. They're at 22-2 with a tournament coming up today in Millbank, ranked number 2 in Class A. More coming up, Dakota Sports Saturday on KOKK. Back on Dakota Sports Saturday, and stay on the volleyball theme with here on Tiger head coach Shelley Budenhagen. Tigers saw their 7-match winning streak snapped last night. 3-set sweep by Rapid City Stevens. And Shelley, I guess I say sweep, but there's sweeps and there's sweeps. First and third sets, you had all kinds of chances, losing 26-24, 25-22. Just when the big play was needed, it wasn't there. So wasn't like you were blown out of the building last night.
Well, yeah, in that first set, we kind of got off to a slow start, which we figured we might. We rhythm, the timing, it just wasn't there. And then Rapid City Stevens came out and was just pounding the ball at us. But we kind of were handling all that and getting us in system. But our hitting, we just were, I don't know, things were not in sync, and we made a lot of hitting mistakes. But yet, still, we had a chance to win that set, and we just couldn't make the big play at the right time to get us over the hump. Now, I'd be curious if we would have won that first set, if things would have, you know, developed a lot differently throughout the whole match, but we just couldn't make the big play offensively or defensively to save that set. And so, therefore, you know, we kind of dug ourselves in a big hole. We had a lot of momentum in that third set, and all of a sudden, again, we just couldn't make a play, and you got to give Rapid City Stevens a lot of credit, because it's a team that has been struggling and trying to find itself. And last night, I really thought that they played super well defensively and offensively and found themselves and just took it at us.
You know, it just almost sounded like by your description, just not quite in sync. You know, we failed to do some things that we had been doing well, almost reverted to early September, if you were. You know, you didn't feel the blocking as well. The hitting, we had a lot of errors. Just little things like that have been going well, we kind of lost last night.
You know, there's sometimes that success can breed even more success, right? Which we have kind of been in that mode. But sometimes success can breed complacency, and kids forget about what got us to a certain point, right? And so I just think practice has been not as focused as we should be. It's that time of the season where the grind can really take a toll on your bodies, on your mind, emotionally, and we thought we were there. In the long run, maybe this loss, or this, you know, it's not a huge loss, but it kind of is a great big wake-up call that this team needed, that we got to get back to what got us here, and that's coming to practice and getting to the office and making sure we're getting our reps, working as hard as we can, and get hungry again. We just did not play like we were hungry to win. It was almost like we were just wishing we could win. And so, you know, again, sometimes a loss can be really good for a squad. And we've talked all season about this, that if we're going to fail, we're going to fail forward and learn from it. And so hopefully there's a silver lining to what happened last night, and we can just, you know, get up today and figure it out against Rapid City Central.
Yeah, and that's almost kind of a strange thing, but you actually had an early start last night, And you and the other coach, Buddenhagen, were actually able to, once you get finished up with Stevens, you're actually able to drive across town and get some scouting in on Rapid City Central. You had the early start. Rapid City Central hosted Mitchell. They had the regular start. So you were able to get some scouting in last night, but sounding with your description of Rapid City Central, a 9-14 team, maybe you wish you didn't scout them, because they have some definite tools that are going to give us problems.
You know, playing these West River teams, first of all, there's a different style of reffing, and I do mean that, and anybody who's been out here to see it, to witness it, to feel it, understands what I'm talking about.
I've never commented on West River officiating.
But we're going to see something today that's going to make us uncomfortable, and that's what we're really worried about, is that we've crossed the net. They do some things that probably would be called illegal over in the East River. And so that's going to be scary for us. But this West River trip, we don't get to see these teams a whole lot. And they played over in the East River a lot earlier. And so when this film that we got, it was maybe outdated. You know, they've gotten better since then. So it is scary to play these teams when you haven't seen them so much. So, yeah, Ty and I did go scout and where the team was eating, and they've gotten way better than what we've seen in film. They've got two big hitters that's going to cause a lot of havoc. Their setter, what we call basket set. So the ball is going to come out. Well, it's going to actually hit her hands, come down to her chin, and then come flying out. So she's got extra time. It's a slower set. So it's going to take us a while to get used to that. We've talked now as a team that we're not going to pay attention to that. We've got no control over that. We've never seen anything like it. So just deal with it and just, you know, get a block up. And blocking was a huge issue last night against me. We got two blocks, and that's it. Two blocks. We played a lot of plinko last night. We let their hitters off the hook. We were right there where we needed to be. So we made great reads. We were fast along the net. We got up on time. But then our hands, and they just blasted the ball right into our hands, and our hands were flying back. And we've got a technical fundamental issue, and we just haven't been able to correct it yet. So hopefully again, that match is something that our blockers needed in order to get hungry again to start blocking for teams. So we're going to have to get hands up for sure on their stud player. Her name is Rhiannon Nez. And that's a name to remember. She's a senior. She's got a lot of ability, and she hits super hard. She'll hit from anywhere along the net. And they've got another hitter, too, that's going to cause a lot of damage. And so our blocking is going to have to slow that ball down, if not knock it over back down the floor. But, yeah, that's going to be the issue. And we know we can play defense in the back row. We know we can do that. But we've got to help our back row out by getting those hands up and getting something done. So, anyway, and then also they're scrappy. And that was another thing Stevens did to us, is that we thought balls were going down. We talked all season about how defense can change someone's offense. And last night I think Stevens' defense changed us. It changed us real quickly. And so, you know, Rapid City Central is going to do about the same thing. So what are we going to have to do? Number one, we're going to have to serve tough. And because we got a little skittish last night, we stopped serving tough. And then you could tell that hurt us. So we're going to come back out and serve tough. And if we make mistakes, we make mistakes serving, but they're going to be good mistakes. And that's going to be our first line of defense. We can help our blocking and our defense. But that's the strategy. And then we're going to try to hit the ball a little harder. And we have to stop tipping so much. And that's basically it today.
Well, before we let you go here, I do want to do one last update here, kind of switch fields a bit, but going back to last Tuesday, Harrisburg Breast Cancer Awareness Night added the silent auction to go along with the T-shirt sales, and sounds like everything was successful. HRMC is happy, you're happy, and it was just kind of a night to celebrate the battle, celebrate the struggle, and celebrate the victories.
Yeah, it was a great night, and you know, you wonder sometimes 2 weeks before if this thing's ever going to get pulled off and it's going to be a success. But, yeah, you know, we were able to honor about 22 women and families who've gone through this battle. And we sold somewhere around 300 shirts. We still have about 100 shirts left to sell. So if anybody wants them, they're really, really nice shirts. I'm just telling you that. And I think it was Prestrella's. Did they have their walk today? Or cancer walks. If you want one of those T-shirts, get out there and grab them. We still have about 100 larges, extra larges. And again, it's a donation. It goes right to the Huron Regional Medical Center in one of their women's programs there. So we were really happy to get a silent auction going. You know, last year when Jennifer Fuchs and Char Sartre approached me about it, I thought, I don't know if I can do I don't know how much more I can put on my plate. I think you guys would not. And they did most of the organization for us, and Student Senate helped with that. And what a huge success. We had we had so many nice things donated, and Performance Radio was another one that donated, and just USD, of course, donated. It was just so many nice things, and the generosity of this community is just, I think, bar none. When Huron sees something that's noteworthy and it's going to be productive, Huron gives. We're a very giving community, and we're a very caring community, and so it was awesome. We raised probably around $3,000 for the whole night for HRMC. That's incredible, and one night we did that. So, yeah, we're pretty happy with it. And again, the big picture is we're trying to find a cure for breast cancer. That's the big picture, and if we can help somebody here in Huron, we're very happy to do that.
And Shelley Budnig and head coach here on Tiger Volleyball. They will visit Rapid City Central today to wrap up the Black Hills trip, and then on to top-ranked Watertown on Tuesday. We'll take a timeout here, come back with more Dakota Sports Saturday on KOKK. Back up here as we wrap up Dakota Sports Saturday. Talk with Scott Spanton, head coach here on Tiger Football. Tough loss for Huron last night. They drop a 14-13 decision to Tri-Valley. And, coach, just a lot of soul-searching this morning. You felt like we should have been good enough to win that. Offensively, we struggled. Second half defense played well. But bottom line is Tri-Valley made two plays, and we didn't.
Right. We, we only have ourselves to blame. It was an opportunity, a great opportunity for us. We felt going into it, coming off the Yankton victory and, taking care of our business in our backyard. And, again, just way too many mistakes, mental and some physical ones, not being in the right spot. I can go on and on about all the negative things, but, there's a lot of things, again, in a short week now that we got to turn around and try to correct and get fixed. Some of the things they did, obviously they watched video from previous two games and they exploited some of the things we've had issues with. So, we've got to go back and try to correct those and get better in a short period of time because we're still playing for a lot this week, and we know it's a big game because it's Mitchell coming to town. It's a rivalry game. It's senior night, so there's a lot of things going on. But the bottom line is you cannot play football like that and expect to win, in close games especially, by making the mistakes that we made during the course of the evening.
Offensively, we just never got the passing game going. Give credit to Tri-Valley, too. As you said, they had a game plan. They stuck with it, and they made it work.
Right. We knew with some of the things they did in the secondary pressing sometimes at the outside, it was going to make it somewhat difficult to get our kids open right away, but we still felt we had a plan. But the bottom line is, between timing of throws, not getting out when they should, protection issues, everybody, like we talked about pregame, just do your job. Take care of your job. And if everybody does that, we'll have a chance to be successful. But, we didn't do that in a number of situations. We didn't do our jobs. So, again, it comes back to learning from those mistakes, moving forward, correct them, and try again. Get in a situation where we have an opportunity to finish this thing up right, the regular season, and move forward.
And you did see some good things, as you said last night, second half especially. You thought the defense played very well, pretty much lights out until that last possession. But Tri-Valley also had some momentum after having the pick. They're able to grind out a couple of first downs and end the game. But seemed like there was adjustments there for the defense in the second half. And they pretty much held Tri-Valley down, including a couple of nice stops on fourth down.
Right. I think, again, the effort level, told them afterwards, proud of the effort. But, again, they made two plays. We didn't make a couple of plays, whether it be on each side of the ball. And sometimes in close ball games, those are the difference makers. So you got to give them credit. They came into our house, made the plays when they were there, big plays, because they were two big plays. That's really, after that, we felt we controlled, the line of scrimmage for the most part, especially in the second half. I thought not that we made huge adjustments. It was just a matter of fact that we were getting kids in the right spot. They were getting in the right spot. And then we tackled better and had more people to the ball. And when we do that, we're pretty good defensively.
And just overall, you got to learn from your mistakes. The problem is we just got done with game eight and we're still learning from mistakes.
Right. That's the biggest concern is, you know, we talk about watching the video, and it's one thing when we watch it together, but you can sit there all day long and look at the mistakes and talk about how we correct them, but the bottom line is we still got to make improvements. That's what good football teams do, and we haven't done a very good job of that. And obviously, with a short week and whatnot, we're not going to reinvent the wheel on either side of the ball. We just got to do a better job, not only on the fundamentals, but just going back to what you're coached to do in the right situations, learn from the mistakes that we've made, overcome them, and then, again, don't repeat them. And that right now is our worst, you know, Achilles heel. We keep repeating some of the same things we've been doing wrong all season long. And like you said, we're going into game nine. So that is a concern.
You know, and you mentioned the short week as well. Everybody plays on Thursday this week, rivalry game to close out the regular season. Mitchell, they lost to Pierre last night. I don't know how much you can draw off of that because Pierre is just Pierre, and they're going to do what they do. But Mitchell, overall, they have shown they can run the ball. They got a back that's put up a lot of yards this year. I know they got a big receiver on the outside they like to go to. Mitchell presents some challenges for us.
You know, they're a good football team. They're playing for the same thing we are. Really, there's not much that separates us as far as when you look at, if you want to go by comparisons. But they do have a good run game. Quarterback, just looking at some of the video the other day, again, I'm sure they will make it probably even more of an emphasis based upon how we, again, struggle at times with the quarterback run game. But they have a tall receiver on the outside they like to go to. So they have some weapons, again, on offense. Defensively, it's similar to the structure of what we saw last night without the press part of it. But you never know. You know, based upon what people have done to us, when they see that blitzing us rattles us or affects us, you know, that's what we're going to, again, point out and try to be devil's advocate and show some of those looks during the course of the week, even though they may not do them. You know, we got to do a much better job up front on both sides of the ball, but especially offensively. And it's not just about those five. It's about everybody. Like I said, quarterback getting rid of the ball on time, making the proper read, receivers running the right routes. You know, all those things add up. And right now that cost us last night. You know, and again, like I said, they made two more plays than we did in big-time situations. And, you know, If they're gonna score, we'd like to make them earn it, as opposed to two big plays. And that deflates you in a hurry, you know, as far as your energy level and your mentality. So those things we gotta get over. I told them last night we gotta move on. We don't have time to sit here and sulk. We got Mitchell coming to town in a few days. It's still a big ball game for us. It's a big ball game for them. They have as much on the line as we do when it comes down to seedings and whatnot. So We have to show up and be able to play much better than what we did, you know, last night.
A couple other notes I do want to pass along. First off, our first National Bank player of the game last night was Landon Haig. He scored our first touchdown, had a nice kick return as well. You know, there's a kid that's just gutting it out. He's playing offense only just because that's all he can really do with his shoulder injury, but he's not backing off from anything. In fact, I thought he was out for the year two different times this year, and he's still out on the field.
Right, he's shown, again, his toughness, his dedication, his persistence to keep him coming back and try and do whatever he can to help the team. And those are things you know really look at from the standpoint of what you want from your athletes and your players, sticking it out in tough times. He's done a great job. He's been a great example of that. So nothing but the highest respect for him, because it would have been easy after the first time, because this is a recurring deal. But he just continues to come back and fight through it. And, again, he contributes. So, like I said, nothing but, you know, utmost respect for him and what he's done and stuck with it this year.
We did have one major injury last night, too, with Jaron Schley going out fairly early in the game, too early to make a call right now. But, you know, we hope for the best, fear the worst with Jaron.
Right. You know, I don't like to talk a whole lot about diagnosing things when we don't know for sure, but it looked like it's probably going to be a knee injury. We don't know to what extent he's going to get an MRI. You know, in my mind, just based upon what I witnessed, you know, he's not going to be back at least this week. So we'll see after the MRI what's going on, and then, you know, see what we can do from there. But for the most part, he definitely won't be back this week.
And finally here, just to look ahead one last time, Mitchell, and I think we have to talk about focus, focus, focus.
Yes, sir. I mean, that's, again, you know, you look at our kind of our, if you want to call it MO or history, you know, we come back from games where we have subpar performances, and then we step up the next week. So again, now we're in that same situation. Granted, it wasn't a total, you know, bust from it comes down to having an opportunity to still win the game. It was a close ball game, a hard-fought ball game on both sides. And those are the type of games that you're going to get into this time of the year. You know, you're not always going to have 20 and 30 point wins. So you got to learn how to overcome some things. And so if nothing else we gain from it, hopefully we realize now that it's just a matter of a few details and a few plays here and there that can make a big difference in the ball game. And maybe that'll help our focus during the course of the week, because like I said, it is a short week. So we got to, again, go back to doing better execution wise on both sides. And in that short period of time, there's not a whole lot of things you can change schematically. So we just got to do a better job of executing across the board.
Scott Spanton, head coach here on Tiger Football. Tigers a tough loss last night, now sitting at 4-4 on the season. Wrap up the regular season at home Thursday with the Mitchell Colonels coming in. That'll be a 6:30 pregame here or over on Tiger 95. That'll wrap up Dakota Sports Saturday, South Dakota Sports History, and Mike Hendrickson is coming up shortly. Up next, Territorial Rodeo Update, brought to you by Premier Equipment of Huron. Thanks for listening to Dakota Sports Saturday on KOKK.